is Monday, June the 16th, 170th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Redwood Capital Bank's Executive Mucky Buck, the bank dude, John Dalby. Hey, guy.
Hey, once again, it's a absolute delight to see you.
You're going
to
blast me out, huh?
There you go.
Okay, fine. I'll match your figure. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about, well, John's been reading again. You know, this time, the book doesn't have pictures, and it's more than 10 pages long, so it's not Grandpa John. This is Banker John reading. Ooh. We're going to talk a little bit about hiring and competencies. And can you do both at the same time while rubbing your tummy? We'll find out when we come back.
From your trip to Latin America, you are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
And the quote today has too many words and too many big words, so Brian didn't want to read it. So this is Sam Walton. There is only one boss, the customer. And he can fire everybody in the company from the chairman on down simply by spending his money somewhere else. Sam Walton.
So as we talk about competencies in hiring and customer interaction.
Yes, you better be nice to me because, you know, otherwise we're going to start advertising somewhere else. So there.
Oh. Does that mean we have to cancel all the ads that are in this show so you get better placement? One of the things, John, I think that is challenging for folks, particularly management folks or mid-management folks, is, you know, while there are books – a lot of times you have to find a mentor. And most of us want to look for industrial mentors, you know, somebody who's in our same niche, that is kind of in a similar scenario to be able to really find out what they're doing. As far as working with people, are there basics? And it doesn't matter what your industry is, doesn't matter what your size is, basics that will help folks understand other people and be better understood by other people?
I'm not sure I understood that question.
Can you learn to be a good manager
okay.
of people?
Okay.
Not the people skills, but a manager.
Yes. There's two issues here, and sometimes they're used. The word is used simultaneously and or synonymously, and that is leader and manager. And they're really two different things. Hopefully, a good manager is also a good leader, but not always. So management skills can be taught, and there are systems to do that. And so we try and implement those systems, teaching our supervisors certain techniques for various things you have to do in management, try and mentor them and walk them through the process. So yes, you can learn management skills.
Do all managers need to be leaders?
For the most part, I would say yes, although there are certain circumstances, you know, and certain types of roles that just being a good manager, especially if you have good people, you don't need to have great leadership skills. But For the most part, you know, I want my managers to be good leaders.
Is that true for most businesses?
Absolutely. In fact, probably more so in the small business realm.
Oh, actually, I was going the other direction. I was thinking government, let's say if you're a wastewater management. I mean, I don't know why that one popped, but that was the one I was thinking about. You know, here's what has to be done. You really can't talk your way around the fact that this has to be done. It has to be done at this time. You have to double check, triple check your systems, make sure that your gear works. I mean, you're not talking to people. You're interacting with machinery. Mm-hmm. Is that application still one where you, I mean, eventually there's going to be some interaction, but needing to have a manager or a leader or somebody who just is a clear communicator?
Absolutely, because you need to, you know, there are going to be problems, there's going to be exceptions. You need to have people that take their job seriously, that meet the deadlines, especially when you have something like that where certain things have to be done at a certain time. There are no ifs, buts, or maybes. It has to be done. In fact, our world is that way. In the banking world, there are things that have to be done every day. There are certain things that have to be done by certain times of the day.
Regulatory or just structurally?
Or mechanically. Okay. Yeah. For instance, you know, because we're on the West Coast, the wire desk closes at a certain hour, and so we have to make sure that all of our wires get done by a certain period of time. That's just one example.
Yeah, you can't talk your way around that one.
Exactly. We have a schedule where, you know, certain things get delivered and certain things get picked up, and they have to be completed and, you know, everything scanned by the end of the day. So, it's very important that you have those managerial skills. And, you know, I like to put everything into a system. I believe in systems. So even
systems or processes?
Systems. Let me give you an example. Apparently I just have a few minutes. So
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay, that's what that means.
There are no minutes on this hand. This is my second hand.
Okay. So we'll talk about this after the break.
You like that little time humor, huh?
Yeah.
My second
exactly.
hand.
I'm glad I didn't have 10 seconds left.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We will be back with more from John Dalby.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the bank dude. John, we were talking about communication skills and that's part of the critical element. And then we talked about processes or systems. What do you see as the distinction between processes and systems?
Yep. For me, just as you talk about the words, you know, a process, which is very important, is how you accomplish a certain task. You go through this process to accomplish that task. A system allows you to use a series of processes in order to manage something, because you have to have a system that's designed with the flexibility to change as circumstances change. And so that's why when I say management needs to be a system, because, you know, a process has the assumption that it's always going to be the same way.
Very static.
Exactly. But when I'm dealing with management, the whole concept of that I manage every person the same doesn't work, because every person has different temperaments. They have different things that motivate them. They learn differently. And so you have to understand what those things are if you want to manage them to their highest potential.
Is there an ideal number? I've seen things that say 6 to 8 people. But is there an ideal number for a manager, whether it's mid-level or senior, doesn't matter, that you can manage effectively?
Well, it certainly depends on the complexity of the tasks they're doing. So, you know, if you're working with, general labor, you can probably manage more people. If you're dealing with things that are more complex, then fewer is better. We have one supervisor with 10 direct reports, and we find that's too many. But they're very complex tasks, so we're making those changes.
Well, how about for your tellers?
Ten is too many.
ten is too many in that situation, even though they're all pretty much doing the same thing.
That's correct. That's what we have found.
How do you find that sweet spot?
Because it wasn't working with 10.
Oh, I see. So now we have the old less than sign in front of 10.
Exactly, yeah.
What about in some of your other departments?
Working, what we're doing is we're fine-tuning. We're taking something. It's not broken, but we're taking something and saying, okay, it will work better.
It wasn't doing what you guys wanted it to accomplish.
Correct, and we measure it, which most people don't.
So if you move into a different department, do the numbers change wildly?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what's the less land sign associated with another department? I mean, can it be as low as 2 or 3?
Correct. And I have some that are 1.
Really?
Yes.
Does he happen to be in this room?
No.
Okay.
No, I probably have too many direct reports for, but, you know, I like to be hands-on and I like to, you know.
Well, okay, now we get into management style.
Mm-hmm.
Hands-on, okay. Hands-off and delegate, okay. Again, you got the two ends of the spectrum. How do you find that middle ground where things are running better?
Let's talk about the terms you just used. I said hands-on, but you described it as micromanage. And so for me, hands-on means that I spend time with my people. I assist them if necessary. But I do delegate. I'm a strong believer in of clarity, that you clarify exactly what your expectations are so that there is no doubt. That's usually the biggest flaw when I go into a business and see that they're having management issues or personnel problems. It's that they don't spend the time clarifying exactly what their expectations are.
Lack of detail or lack of clear communication skills?
It's generally communication. And how you communicate it. So so clarifying those things, making sure that your people have exactly what they need to succeed. I see the role of a manager is to ensure that their people succeed. That's the role, and that's oftentimes the problem. Sometimes we think the manager needs to be the boss, and the objective is to get people to obey you.
So management doesn't do the basic task of what the business entity is?
They can. Sure they can. They can work alongside. Depends on the circumstances. Happens all the time. Now, one mistake that we fall into a lot of times, and this is very common, is you have somebody who's really good at what they do, and you have one of them. So now you hire two. You hire a second one. So you make the person who's really good at what they do the manager because they're really good at that task. But we find that they don't have the competency that, oftentimes they don't have the competencies to manage. It's a different skill set.
Do they all go by the name of Peter? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, with the book that you brought in, you're talking a little bit about some of the things that we've been discussing in broad terms about communication, management skills, goals, clarity, things of that nature. What are trainable skills or trainable characteristics, okay, if not skills?
The book I brought in was by Brad Smart. It's called Top Grading. It is a very dry read, so and it's a very long book.
Brad, oh, good. Yeah. A lovely combination, yeah, to exactly, be sure, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I doubt too many people are going to go out and buy it and read it, or once you see it, you go, no. But it's very valuable information. Brad Smart basically is a professional interviewer to determine whether or not somebody's going to be successful. And he did all of the hiring for high-end positions for Jack Welch at
IBM? No, not IBM, GM.
General Electric, GE.
Who was I thinking of?
I don't know, but it was GE. Anyway, so he wrote a book on the process of interviewing and hiring. And I believe, well, let's take a quick look. It's 558 pages long.
He's got little letters after his name, I notice, on the spine.
He does, So he's a smart guy. Thus, his name, Brad Smart. But right in the middle of the book, he talks about competencies. And he did something that I think is very, very valuable, is he took various competencies and put them in one of three categories: relatively easy to change, harder to change but doable, and very difficult to change. And so this is a valuable list from a number of perspectives. The first one is your own self-evaluation. You know, as the owner of a business, as a manager, or somebody who wants to be a manager, you need to look at some of these competencies and say, okay, where do I fall? Do I have these competencies or do I not? And how difficult is it for me to gain them? For instance, one that you thought shouldn't be in the easy to change category when we were looking at this was risk taking. Yet he says to get somebody to be a risk taker is relatively easy to change. On the flip side, one that's very difficult to change is intelligence. You know, it's hard to train that.
Tried that one for years, didn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. You and I have failed. Yeah. Though, so and apparently we're not going to succeed.
No, the old genetic code is just kind of locked in.
Right. So by looking at these lists, I can look at it and say, okay, there are some things here that I'm lacking in. And, if you talk to certain people, including my wife, there'll probably be a lot of things that I'm lacking in. But, can I work on them?
Is it worth working
exactly
on?
Exactly. And so when you mentioned one that's in the very difficult to change is creativity.
Which is why I thought risk-taking would be parallel to that. But I'll share that when asked.
So, I think these are very, very important lists to have a conceptual idea of what works and what doesn't work. So as you're hiring or promoting people, you can look at this and say, okay, here are areas that this person is lacking because nobody has everything. And can we train those skills? Can they learn these competencies? Or am I just wasting my time?
So what were the things that pretty much you can't bring anything to the table on this one?
One you cannot change.
Not. Like intelligence, I think.
Okay, we have intelligence, analysis skills. Creativity, which we've talked about, conceptual ability. I've got employees that are linear thinkers. And when you add more than one or two elements, variables, to an equation or a concept, they just lose it. They don't get it.
The thing I'm thinking of is that you're trying to remodel a kitchen, say. Some people can see it done, painted, the whole thing, and others... No, it's not there.
Integrity. Very difficult to change integrity.
Now, see, I would think that would be one that would be more malleable because it being cultural, that change the culture, you change some of those ethics.
problem is you integrity has a history.
Sure.
So if I hire somebody who's had integrity issues in the past, not only will those things haunt them, but most likely they'll reoccur.
Continue, yeah.
Yeah. Assertiveness.
Now, that's bizarre for me. Assertiveness can't be changed. Risk-taking can. I see them kind of opposite ends of a related spectrum.
Well, assertiveness implies conflict. And a lot of people are very adverse to conflict. Makes them very, very uncomfortable.
Right.
And in fact, this is an area that I'm weak in. I tend to avoid conflict. And in my reverse evaluations where my staff evaluates me, that's where I come up short as...
too nice of a guy? Avoiding issues?
Well, I try and avoid conflict. So sometimes things fester before I'll actually deal with it. So I've inspiring followership. We talked about the difference between management and leadership. The way I measure or identify leadership abilities is if there's leadership, there's followership. And it doesn't have to be somebody who is in a position of authority.
Yeah, not formal.
Right. We can be coworkers in the same job. And you'll see people that have leadership because the rest of them follow, even though they don't have the position and the title. And those are things you do want to identify. If you see somebody with that inspires followership, now you have somebody who can be a leader. If that makes sense.
Or has the abilities, some of the abilities right. to be in the leadership. Yeah.
Another one difficult to change is energy. I think I put him to sleep.
Energy, not passion.
Passion's the next one.
Oh. Okay. Energy I see as a physical thing.
Right. Ambition and tenacity. That's the list of competencies that are very difficult to change.
When we come back, we'll find out those things that are more malleable. How's that for a $2 word? We'll be back.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. This afternoon we're talking about, I guess, probably identification of personal characteristics.
Competencies.
So we went in the last segment with those areas that are pretty much innate. You got what you got, and you know, if you got a lot in your pot, congratulations, and if you didn't, do a workaround. What are the things that we can work on to develop those skill sets and those competencies, either for ourselves or with others?
Okay, some of the easier things to change. One, we've already talked about risk-taking. Education. I can provide education for a new employee or for myself if I need it. Experience. Okay, that's something we can change. Organizational and planning skills. Those can be taught.
I thought that would be a mid one.
Yeah.
It can be taught with effort.
Yes, these will take some effort, but can be done. Self-awareness. Communication, both oral and written. First impression. Relatively easy to change. Customer focus, political savvy.
Some of these things kind of just sound like maturation.
Mm-hmm.
Which if you're looking to hire somebody who's young.
Right.
Okay, you're going to see a lot of these come into effect.
That's correct. Coaching, training, goal setting. And here's one, redeploying BC players. And you're saying, what's that? Well, you have to read the book to understand BC players.
Right guy, wrong position?
Well, he breaks down performance in, as A players, B players, and C players. And, you know, oftentimes managers will deal with their C players and keep their A's and B's. And he says a good manager deals with his B's and C's and keeps his A's. And so not necessarily you just eliminate them, but when you have somebody who's not performing, you now have to look at it and say, okay, do they have the core competencies to do their job? Are there some that we can improve on? Another use of this list is not just hiring, but also improving performance. So now
And retention too.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times you'll find that when you go through these competencies and what are required for the job functions, you might find that they're just in the wrong job. And that's very frequent that we have good people in the wrong job.
Rather than the wrong company.
Correct. Top performance comes when you have the right person in the right job.
So how do you know if an individual, us, them, whoever, is the right person in the right job after you've been there for a period of time? How do you know? I mean, is it an innate thing? Is it a measured standard that you go against? Does the person have a feeling that everything's flowing in the right direction? I mean, how do you?
If you have the right person in the right job, one is you're going to have high productivity, high profitability, low turnover, okay, and high morale. So if you have those four things,
and high morale is defined as
that they're happy.
Look forward to work. I mean, some of those.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if you have somebody dreads coming to work,
or somebody that you dread to see come to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the things that you can measure. And the measurement of those will tell you whether or not you have the right person in the right job.
The book again is?
Top Grading by Brad Smart.
Available at your favorite neighborhood banker.
You're going to have to order this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody's going to have it on their shelf.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, where would the shelf be located? Thanks for coming by. Good, he got it. A little delay there. That wasn't Damien doing something funny to the tape. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.